Hello and welcome to the UniMerit podcast. I'm Howard Hudson, and this week we're joined again by Dr. Thomas Ziesma, who's just released a new book which is entitled Balancing Renewable Electricity. And one of the big claims, which is also a controversial claim, in this book is that by 2050, anywhere from between 80 or even 100% of our electricity will be generated from renewable energy sources. Now, how do you come to this claim, Thomas?
Well, it comes from different angles. The 80% comes from German Council of Environmental Advisors. They have predicted 80%. That's also an interdisciplinary group. And the business group, which is going to sell these wind installations, they are maybe more favorable of 60%. But there is a huge uncertainty about these numbers, and I think we can say more when we approach the first of them, the 60, then we will have learned probably enough to know whether we can make 80 or more.
I mean, the subtitle of the book, I mean, you say energy storage, demand-side management, network extension from an interdisciplinary perspective. And I know you've had engineers working on this, political scientists, economists and lawyers. So coming to this 80 to 100%, that's already kind of a compromise number or envelope.
Yeah, that comes from all sorts of scientific sources, and it's an uncertain number how much we really can do. Mm-hmm. But currently we are, I think, even slightly below 20, so that's 40% of all the learning to go.
Okay, so what number would you personally put on it?
I don't need a number. As long as you can be careful and learn, mm-hmm. It goes slowly anyway, too slowly maybe.
Okay.
Then you learn about the possibilities of getting more. It is also that for a horizon, this is about 2050, mm-hmm. It is close to impossible to predict all the prices of all the competing machines in it, wind, solar, water, and the more traditional ones. Gas is complementary to wind, mm-hmm. So it's very hard to know.
So a big part of the book is talking about balancing supply and demand of electricity. How do you state this question?
We state this question that we very hypothetically start from the question, suppose we are in 2050 and we have only wind and sun energy, which problems would we have? And the biggest problem is that end of January and beginning of February, we have neither wind nor sun. And then that means it 10 to 20 days, up to 20 days, a gap in the supply.
When you say we, do you mean Germany or Europe in
general? The German area, basically, uh-huh. Yes. So if you go a little bit to different regions, it's slightly different, but not completely. They will just have a different form of the problem. Mm-hmm. And so everywhere, when you have these ambitious goals for renewable energy, you have to think about how you fill this type of largest possible gap in a year.
Uh-huh. That's and, of course, the winter period is one of the peaks for electricity, is it?
That
because
depends
of the heating.
On where you are. In warm regions, the echo is also
a strong
electricity demand.
So this is just Germany you're focusing on, but the results would be relevant for other countries in Europe and around the world?
Well, Germany, I think, is the only country that has announced these ambitious goals. Mm-hmm. And many nations have questions.
What are these goals? Can you...
The goal is to transform the electricity network and the park of power stations in a way that you can have these 60 or 80% renewable. Mm-hmm. And the special situation about Germany is that both are very old. The current power stations that we have, coal, nuclear and so forth, and also the network. So we are up to reinvestment anyway. And that also is a unique chance to build something new. So it is not that we are going to make big losses on existing installations.
So now is the time to make the decisions, basically. And
yeah.
With the nuclear option being more or less cleared out.
Yes, also because these installations
are very old. Because of Fukushima last year, the political
fallout. Fukushima was the tipping point in the public opinion. Uh-huh. But these installations are very old, and there were earlier plans to step out around 2022 or so, and these are very old as well, so that the first ones have been built in the early 1970s, so...
Are they still safe? Or is this why they're being decommissioned?
That's a controversy. The suppliers say yes, it's still safe, but they also said this in Fukushima, so this is what was making the tipping point.
But then Germany isn't likely to suffer a tsunami?
No, it's not, but it's different every time. It was different in... in Chernobyl, it was different in Harrisburg, and there were some more accidents, and it's each time it's a bit different, but when they get older, they probably don't get safer or keep the safety. So.
Okay, so what recommendations are you making in this book then?
We think that the major point is if we don't have wind and sun, other countries still do. So up there in Scotland or even in the Hungarian Pusta, you may still have a lot of wind at that time and produce a lot of wind energy. And in the south, you may still produce a lot of solar energy. And what we need is a good European connection to exploit the diversity in the weather conditions. Mm-hmm. So then we can help each other sending electricity across the border.
But it's not really helping each other, it's buying from each other.
Buying
isn't
from
it?
Each other, yes, of course, yeah.
Okay.
But conceptually, you must have this attitude that you want a European network and not a national one.
Uh-huh. And they're already that's already in the pipeline, so to speak, this European energy grid?
I think the European Commission also has seen this during the same time as we did, and they also want to support this, but of course they always have to move with the slowest speed.
Yeah,
of the slowest
I was working
states.
In Brussels several years ago, and I remember hearing about it then, but I mean, I still don't know where we are.
No, the European Commission, Oettinger, who is also a German, by the way, but that may be accidental, he also had plans, or his directorate has plans about European investment in electricity networks.
And also, obviously, getting over these issues in terms of the storage and the supply and demand will make us less dependent on problematic areas in the world, like, for example, Russian gas supplies and Middle Eastern oil supplies.
Depends. Russian gas not, because gas is very much complementary to wind, because if you don't have wind energy from other regions, then in the end you need a speedy mechanism to supply electricity, and gas-fired power stations are the complementary installation.
Unless the
to
Russians
wind.
Turn off the gas again. That's what I'm getting at. I mean, this is the political side.
Yeah, but they need our money, so I'm not so much afraid of that.
Okay.
But this is very much different with oil. So if the system, you see this also in the current European investment data, wind and gas have positive investment. Mm-hmm. The others are sort of depreciating more than they install. And so it's not only a German trend, it's a European investment data trend.
So why is less money being invested in solar?
Solar is actually, when it's not highly subsidized, is not profitable.
Is it not effective either? Is it not efficient? Or is it just the profitability?
Well, in the end, you must have a competitive price for the kilowatt hour. So,
and it's better from wind than from photovoltaic.
Yes.
But you also mentioned that in the book that the wind turbines rely on certain precious metals from China. Again, if there's a political disagreement or whatever, that could be problematic for building new installations, but is that also for the maintenance as well as the building new turbines?
Well, you need these materials when you make new machines.
What are they?
New wind turbines.
What are they? The minerals?
I don't know the detailed name, sorry. But we had a whole list, and we also have it in the book, of which
China's
are
the only
very
producer.
Scarce ones and where they are. And for some which go into these wind turbines, they are in China. And the German government is already negotiating to get access for reasonable long-term contract prices.
Based on your recommendations?
I think that others know this as well, so it's in the public already. Yeah.
Okay, and finally, so this book is part of a series which has been running for several years. Since when exactly?
In 2000, I participated for the first time. So mm-hmm. that was on sustainable development, energy, and innovation.
Uh-huh.
And so this is the energy series.
Okay.
And there are some more where I did not participate.
And so these books, have they fed into government policies and European policies over the years? Have you seen the recommendations being taken on board?
That's always the question. So when the projects are decided to be done, then there is someone who finances and therefore seemingly is interested. But 2 or 3 years later, the question is how large is the interest? But in general, yes, there is interest. So some of the books have been financed by the German Ministry of Research and Education and others by the German Airspace Center, which is the largest non-university research organization in Germany with about 6,000 employees.
Okay, and because it's interdisciplinary, It's not all about vested interests.
Yeah, it's outside. You just make a team for a while and then we go apart again.
Thanks, Thomas.
Okay. Thank you.